morning I'm turning to the book of Exodus chapter 32. And I'll read to you verse 8. From verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, This be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And this morning, this is what we are going to think about. And our subject is a sudden decline. And okay, sir, and seven, a very good view. I feel some kind of a kind of Exodus chapter 32. Now, And as I said, the subject is a sudden decline, and it reminds us of doing something, and all of a sudden, you just stop it. And we apply it to spiritual things, where it has to do with people having desire to follow the Lord, and to find Him, to save them, but at a point in time, they just left it off. They hung on to some things which caused them not desirous and able to really know the Lord again. They made a progress in religion. They made a progress to know the Lord. They tried to even give themselves to the Lord. But something happened then. They are no more to be found. And they don't have any desire again. And it's something that happens to many that seek to know the Lord. Some will recover and come back. Some may never come back again. So it's a serious matter. So, by the whole passage here that we have in chapter 32, it is speaking about this shocking attitude of the people of Israel as they were traveling through the wilderness to the promised land. And this shocking attitude, as those of you were here earlier in our reading, about the making of the golden calf. I'm sure this is a very common Bible story people know, the golden calf. And you know what the incidents, what went on, they made Aaron to give them another god so that to lead them back to Egypt and all that. But we don't want to focus on the whole detail, but we just want to have that understanding. But then before this issue happened, remember, we didn't read there, but in Exodus 24, the Lord has called Moses to come up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments for them. And Moses has gone, and it has been around 40 days and 40 nights. Moses has not yet come. And we are told that because Moses delayed, the people felt that this sin came into their mind. They thought that Moses has delayed. Well, they said, we don't know what has happened to this mad Moses. And even the beginning of their sin is serious. Moses was the leader who was sent by God to bring you from Egypt. Look at all that Moses has done for you. And then he has led you all this. And then they said, we don't know who this man Moses, what has happened to him. The Yekan said, Sir, you may see, Moses no kwaje yakopon hwe mu zomba je mradu ni mra omo na Moses ekọ okpo no so no babo ni se oche kakra na ngofo ni ka se Moses ye papa we ya e Moses bra ye ohu di akọtu no ho mu ndi ye mpenya me fro ni enko Egypt bi o na me ka se bi sa ajene gbo omu chi mu se Moses we bra Moses ye omu ni se Moses na odi omu ni mfi Egypt ta be du sa mbre
And when you need for whom be a man, Omukata for any for Moses Grano, or any Pepia, or dear Mo Abedus Ivory. And then Mark, Umquero, and Jose Onye, and Yame, a Bosom Mormon, and for Munko, and Venice and Egypt. And I make us a Mura, Omoya Sadi, no Moses, and one from Moses, Moko Mountain, Nisso, or Sunlight, or Gojisa, and Bray Eddie Abram. And then one new way, say Omoya, you know, in Vidya, and I make us a. That is the beginning of sin. When sin is, we are being tempted to sin. The first reasons that comes to our mind to as if to make us realize sin is very enjoyable is foolishness. It's no reasonable at all, but we embrace it. And that's what they were brought to here. But we are told also in the account, which we have not read, but before Moses went up to the mountain, they have agreed that they will obey all the commandments, because God spoke to them. And Moses also told them before the written one. They have told the Lord that they are willing to obey all the commandments, even avoiding the making of the idols and everything. They were willing. They have told him in Exodus 24, verse 3, they said, and Moses came and told the people, and all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. And it was inclusive of, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not make any other gods before me, and all that. And thou shalt not make images. So what came into their mind, and now they want images immediately. It was not too long. It was not too long Moses went to the mountain. They were giving these verbal instructions about the law before Moses went to collect the written one. So then they have even agreed that we will obey the Lord. May the makers, the Mura Moses, I'm running. But then a few days, these people relapse into sin. Nyamia omaka said, well, you beg me as much. Nyamia asombo brazo. Samuya resuti mamia. Asase bosha asase no. Odi be mamu. Emma, she said, aye atia aka aye eni kapa. Enzo enda enye mando enda kakre. Enda kakre die chino. Ngofu ashu aso wali. They forgot all the wonderful experiences of the gospel, of the power of God. What was this? Remember their deliverance from Egypt. It was very great demonstration of God's power. That people who don't have anything to fight against Pharaoh and the whole land of Egypt, God delivered them without their fighting. All the punishment God brought on the people of the land of Egypt, excluding the people of Israel, even to the last point. When their first born children are dying, the people of Israel were free. When the animals were dying, the people of Israel were free. At the point when, that everything that happened, they were free. To the point, God himself made the point that the Egyptians said, no, you should leave us. Go and leave us. And they even gave them gifts, gold and other things, just go. And they just marched over millions of people. They marched out of Egypt. It's wonderful. And also, when they go to the Red Sea, what the incident there? Well, the whole army of Pharaoh was following them, and the whole army of Egypt was following them, Pharaoh leading them, and God made them to cross this sea on a dry land, and then this whole army of Pharaoh died. And they were so happy and joyful. And these were not, yes, incidents of the, it was just a few time to this period. They've forgotten all the powerful. This is how sin is. Sin, when we are tempted to sin, how it becomes. We give into temptation and we throw away everything that will, everything that will try to convince us that sin is bad. And this is what they do. They forgot. He forgot. And even at another time, also at the time of their deliverance from the Red Sea, or where the sea was divided, look at the way this, then Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Did they fear and believe him really? Yes, at the moment they did. At the moment they did. They were like, when Jesus Christ was on earth, some of his disciples, they will believe in him. They will say they believe in him, but Jesus Christ did not entrust himself unto him. This is the situation of these people. They believed what God had done, and they were so happy to see. But then what happened? Very soon, they fell into sin. And another incident also, when the Lord, God was speaking to them from the mount, from Mount Sinai, concerning the law, the thunderings and the shaking, they even shook. Even the Bible told that Moses was shaking. And it shook the whole people, and they were afraid. And they seem to admire that God is indeed there, that they seem to believe that God is real. But how come very soon, if God was real to you, now you are turning from him? You see their problem here. So why soon the making of the golden calf and the worshipping of it? And now, and the description given, they woke up to dance and pray. It has to do with worship of idolatry, which has to do with sexual immoralities. So, and with drunkenness and a lot of filth. And it's so sad to see a people that have seen the hand of God, people that have tasted his power. Soon, sin was a delight. Soon, sin was a very comfortable thing for them. And that is how idolatry begins. Idolatry, which may not be erecting some images, but from the heart. That's how idolatry begins. When people will not give their heart to the Lord, they will give their heart to something else. And there can I say, Egypt, Israel, for whom you are meeting me, baby, you share a moral job with Egypt. Ah, not Pharaoh, ne soldier for Idi Omochi, ah, obie, a punumu, omu fermu, ah, omu kariye, yeno, omu, just the Bible says, omu, a yomu, omu, 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 So let us see the application of this for ourselves. Well, the Bible cautions us about the attitude of this apostasy. The Bible, and also, where Obi Akoko, Efasa, Lesima, Aswadi, Omoye, Yamamuchi, Mufi, and Gopon, General. That will work for profound in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 to 7. We read it in the morning when we were reading. And this is what the Bible says. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Let there be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You see how God warns us in the New Testament about this attitude of the people. God is warning us here. And are we willing to listen? Because the cause of this apostasy of the people of Israel, it is similar to the very things which ruin many efforts of many who sometimes become so conscious of seeking the Lord, but they just stop it. Because you know those people who sin, God killed them in the wilderness. They all died. They were not able to go to the promised land. They were not able to join the people. Say God took them all. Because you know when Moses went to plead for them, God said, I have listened to you. Continue your journey, but when the time comes for me to visit them, I will visit the iniquity on them. And the Bible tells God killed all of them. They were not able to see the blessings of God. And it is The same thing, as I said, people can become conscious of knowing God, like having personal relationship with Him. I mean, seeking that He forgive them their sins, that really become serve Him and give their life to Him. And up at a point in time, this anxiety really eat them up. They wish to repent and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they have always heard of Him that He is the Savior. He is able to forgive us of our sins. And they themselves are aware that they are sinners. But then, after they do that, then they fell back to sin again. Sometimes you ask, oh, what happened? But there's always a reason. There's a cause, there's a reason why the person at a point just stopped. It isn't that it's just a chance. No! There was a very conscious effort to stop because something happened. And one of the things that often happens is that people mistakenly think that the Lord will save them when they outwardly reform their bad habits. When they begin to change some of their bad things they do outside, and yet keep their hands on their sins. This is the main cause. They are telling us, But Nakuma there, no, the Bonyechi. That's the cause. When the heart is still clinging to sin, stop everything outside, God will never save you because you are still loving your sins. You are still in grip with your sins. You are still there. And then, by and by, this loving of sin in the heart will issue again. And then, to grip you again, then you have to fall back into your sin. So, Nipa, or who says, or Sakra, no, right there. No, sir. Well, anything you should open or source some. Oh, maybe I mean because I'm here. Oh, Mr. Sam Castle, I'll be a boy drama, major drama, I'll be a Sinipa, we can't draw major. Fine, I'm here. But, and here, look at it. Oh, yes, I know my way near Nakuma at the Bonnie. Nakuma, Bonnie, Sanakumi. Nakuma, Bonnie, when I come in store. And only, and here, I said, what do I say, right? And yeah, there he has represented people who are going to master. Nakuma or That is what many people are ignorant of. They are ignorant, and the fact is that the fact that people want to indulge in it, they forget that the root cause of all sins is in the heart. It's not the what you do, because in the heart there's a presence of lust for sinful things. There's desires for sinful things. Do you know why it is so with us? Because we are sinners by nature. And by that nature, that sin is like a tree and the very root of the tree. Most trees, when you cut the main trunk, it will still germinate. Prune the branches, it will still bring up. Because the branches are merely connected, or the fruit, whatever you do. You take out the fruit, so it will come. It will bear fruit again. But then you uproot it from the root. You are finished. And that's how it is. People want the fruit of sin. Well, my bad words, my lies should be cut off. But what about the root? If I brain up here and some kind of effect, then try ultra and the German boy, then some more no matter baby and mouth is our body, the whole name of the that is where it has to be dealt with. So you see, we are foreign moral beings. We are corrupting our souls. There's corruption in us. And that is how we have to, that is what we have to come to realize. Sir, or see who say ni pa ya shias wobonim. Na boni esu angasati yung. And yes, one say ye bonin kekanuna, a chest at the bony fo. Tia konun or say, ye shas ye pe anu anusi. And tia konuna or see a debate rajini. And do you know that all the corruption, the immoralities we complain about in this world, all the evil they call in this world, and whether against others or against us or whatever it is because of the corruption in the human heart. Lest all people in the world have this corruption taken out, there will be no sin in the world. Because of corruption in the human heart. You see? And in 1 Peter 1, 4, he described it, the kind of mind that drives people in the world, the corruption that is in the world through lust. The corruption that is in the world through lust, deep in the people's heart. Why will a nation maybe rise up to go and fight against a nation? Maybe they want something they are not giving to them. Why will somebody will quarrel something? Because maybe there's kind of greed and whatever, and there's kind of cheating, selfishness, then brings what? Troubles. Why will people feel to do evil? It's from the heart. It's from the heart. That is where the problem is. And Peter, the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, all the immoralities is through lust. That is it. The corruption in the human heart. James also asked this to us, that every temptation to sin is by the lust in the heart. Look at, let me read to you, James 1, 14 to 15. But every man is tempted, that is every person, when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. So, we are drawn away by our lust before the enticement. The enticement could be outside, but then there's a lust in us which drives us. And enticed, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see? So, before we sin, something has happened. And I remember one old preacher once said, Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they had already sinned in their heart. Before they went for the food, they had been pride and kind of lust in their, and that's before. So it's before even the temptation from Satan came, they themselves has fallen. And we know that Adam and Eve, they had a state which is not like ours. God gave them the two, where they had the power to say no to sin, where they had power to choose evil. It was a test time for them. But you know, human nature, without that grace of God in the heart, which we have through Jesus Christ, when we come to Him, we'll fall into sin. You see? And Adam and Eve, Adam, they said, God, there was that movement that grew up in their heart, which was the lust. When we are drawn away by our own lust. And that is what God wants to help us with. And that is what we need to come to God with. So we see that all the addictions in the world, the lies, whether people are addicted to lies, stealing, dishonest, whatever, alcohol, sexual sins, anger, love of money, possessions, envy, hatred, love of status and greed, whatever, the boastings and the pride, we can name so many. All these things are rooted to lust in the heart. Whatever we do that causes us to sin, the main thing is lust in the heart. There's lust in the heart. And it is that drives us. When people are fighting addiction and they are giving them some rules and it's interesting, they will never go out of their sin. Well, they may stop one sin, but another sin will grip you. You may stop one sin, another sin will grip you. That's how we are. So, if we just reform our character, a mere reformation of character will lead to failure in matters of salvation. I just want to stop some of the outside things I do so that people, well, I'm a good person, I can never make any headway when it comes to knowing the Lord. When it comes to matters of salvation, because the root cause is the lust in my heart. So a mere reformation of character will lead to failure. I can never be changed. I can never know the Lord. God, the heart is still gripped to sin. The American said, I said, a shell. Let me give you this illustration. In our homes, how are we to get clean water? If you want to get clean water, it has to be treated from the source. If they don't treat it and they send the water to you, you can never, you have dirty water in the house. If those who have to treat it don't treat it, you have the dirty water in the house. So it is. How can we have a good, how can we eradicate sin from the heart? That's to be done from within the heart. How can we eradicate sin from our lives? How can we overcome sin and be saved? It has to be done. Purity has to be in the heart. You see, it has to be in the heart. That is where it has to be. Else, all the effort will be useless. All effort to fight it. That is why in the whole world, where there isn't true Christianity, where people rest their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for sinners, where their hearts are not changed, there isn't genuine Christianity. That's why in Ghana, I always say, they think, oh, there are many people who go to church, people are going to go from Ghana, and so, that's what people say. Many people attend church, but our Christianity is not good because people who go to church have their own lust in their heart, and they have put their color of Christianity. They are not changed. They are not saved from their sins. They have been maybe by, they are just doing and they are doing like do's and don'ts. Well, this is bad, this is good. No! It has to be from the heart. That is why repeatedly in the Bible, God will always direct all who will seek him to give him their heart. In Proverbs, it says that, my son, give me thy heart. In Proverbs. And the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, everything. That is what you can really, until that has happened, the cause, the root of sin is taken away, where your heart can really love the Lord. You cannot. Because that's what Apostle Paul also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He calls it charity, the love of God in the heart. He said that if you burn yourself, if I burn myself, if I do everything, I don't have the love of God in my heart, I'm nothing. I can be religious and fight for religious cause, whatever it is, and give all myself a religious cause, build churches, whatever, and kill myself for religion. But if I don't have this heart change, if God has not really implanted his love in my heart, because so long as my lust is there, God's love can never be there. The lust will lead you to lack of things. But the love of God in the heart, when it is the lust is replaced with the love of God, the lust will be suppressed. And then God himself begins to make things in your heart. And he will change our corruption in our heart. God will have to change this one first. God will have to make us anew. God has to give us a new birth. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what it means to be born again. The changing of the heart. Where I am given a new principle. A new principles of life. Where I am able to, as Titus tells us, the grace of God in the heart, to say no to sin. But what? Yes, to godliness. To really have a heart that really pants after God. Where even when something crosses it, I become so sad. That's why have I allowed my heart to follow after things of the world? Why have I allowed my sin to become so, wasteful in this sense? So you see, the love of God in the heart. And how can this be done? You see, man by himself cannot do that. Man, if it's necessary, we don't have the strength in us. We cannot do that by ourselves. Well, that is why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, the Son of God. He came to this world for this purpose. In Romans 5 verse 6, we are told, for when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ came to die for us, for this purpose, because we are unable to resist sin. Sin, the old nature, our nature is so soaked in sin. We are utterly devoid of the power to remove the root of sin in ourselves. We cannot, unless somebody does it for us. We cannot remove it from our own self. And who can do it? All of us are sinners. Nobody can remove it except God himself. So the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary paid for all our debt of sin. You know that all our sinfulness, if God will not forgive us, you have to punish us for it. I told you the people of Israel, when they sinned, this people, God did not forgive them. God said that, yes, you continue with your journey, but on the way, I will destroy them. Yet this physical death, well, not a physical death, but if they died in unbelief, eternal death, eternal hell is waiting for them. And so you and I, when we live in sin, without death of sin, in this body, I'll read to you, Apostle Paul says, body of sin, body of death in us, and we die in that, we are cut off from God. Say, Apostle was sad to be a more bonny, say, a more, yea, yea, bonny, sufi, a munua. Jesus Christ came to pay for our sins' debt. His blood alone is able to cleanse us. In John 1 John, you are told that, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we want our sins to be cleansed away, to be taken away, so that each effect on us is taken away, so that we have that purity of desires and purity of thinking, where our minds and hearts will be fully for God, Christ must cleanse us. His blood is given for that. He only is able to cleanse us. And my question to you is that, are you troubled about yourself? If you are not saved yet, if you have not received this change of heart, are you troubled with your sin? Are you aware of this issue of sin rooted in your heart? My sin is that maybe someone of you says, Yenji, oh, not say, this Christian says, Sawa, Ubone, Uhono, Ehawana, Bonia, Tumuno, Ewa Daviniana. Are you concerned with your sin? The Lord Jesus Christ says, come to him. He said, I come to him. Come to him, because they come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Ye that are laden with the burden of sin. He that is has known that my life, I cannot, well, when I try to change my habit here, well, I realize there's another sin here. Say, come to him. He's able to give us the power. He's the friend of sinners. And when he came, he was charged with that. Not that his sin was sin, but he's the one who is able to make sinners good. When we come to have fellowship with him, he can make us good. Jay can say, yes, Christ is your banner in China. Bible catches, oh, you are the boy who are down for. And yes, oh, dear, only the boy who will be up on you. No, Momono, or yeah, of what the boy who will be up on you. And this reminds me now reading. I think in the Greek version, there's a wrong translation there. Where God said that Moses was pleading that God should repent of the evil, the Jew says that God should repent of. I think I'm going and it's not even upon him. No, that evil is a misery that comes out of sin. That's the punishment for sin. But the Jew, you know, actually Moses said, I'm going and anything upon him. It's wrong. Rather, no, as you cannot go on, no, it's a wrong translation. But God, that's how it is. The evil there sometimes comes for sin. But here, it was a judgment that God was going to bring upon the flood. So, in the context, teaches us. Okay? So, that is it. Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners. He is the one to come to make us good. Not that he helps us to save, but he's coming to save us. His name Jesus, that he will save his people from their sin. Yes, Christ, when he did yes, this is what he came to do. So, our troubles of sin, we cast this on him. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Apostle Paul, when he felt the struggle of sin in his heart. Look at what he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 24-25. He said that, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Talking about sin. Sin is the body of death, he refers. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that God has made a provision. Who can deliver me? Who can bring me out of this state of sin? Thank be to God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are perishing in sin. Our sin is has already taken us from God. Spiritually, we are dead. We have no feelings for God. We are people made by God to love him, to serve his purpose here, and we don't have any regard to him. Our feelings, well, we just come to church, but then it's like those idol worshippers, they just go to the shrine to offer their gift, whatever it is, they are free. No! God must be known. God, we have to feel after him. And as Apostle Paul told those in Acts chapter 4, he said that God, he told the Gentiles that, well, for so many years, God left them, but then God not just leave them, but he left without witness. He gave them seasons and times of provision. We have so many provision for our life and everything, that out of it we will seek after him. If we will feel after God, that's what it is. If we will feel after him. God has given us life. Here we are in this world, and we have so many opportunities. Here we have our trouble, but each one of us, no, we have our opportunities also. And then troubles come, but by and by we get out of it. God has given us all these interventions. Why? He wants us to seek and to know him, so that we'll give this heart that we are using ourselves in. In Romans, if you look at the book of Romans, I was supposed to read this, that those that have been saved, now they should, before they were servants of sin, but they are no more servants of sin. Also, he said that before all your strength was for sin, now you are no more. He even said that sin will not have dominion over you again. That doesn't mean they will never sin, but to have a habit of sin that grips you, that you can never break away from, to the Christian, no. If I'm a Christian and I'm in that sin, then I should question my Christianity. By and by, every sin, you may know, I mean, it's not that you never sin, but no sin will grip you that you can never break away from. You can break away from every sin by the power of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the grace of God in the heart. When we are struggling with sin, we cry to him, he'll help us. By and by, overcome it. Every sin, not just single one, from the heart and from the outward. Yet, we still have our own nature, we'll be tempted to fall into sin foolishly. But to have sin dominating our life, any particular sin dominating our life, no. If even we are Christian, we are stubborn, God will really chastise us. He'll put us in places where we'll raise up our hands. God help us. If we are Christians and we are stubborn in sin, he knows us. God, it is a teaching in the New Testament, from the old to the new. Also, it's not the finish of affliction. God will deal with you. You will run away from that habit, and then you give yourself back to him. So, who can deliver me from this body of sin? Oh, wretched man that I am. Here am I. Sin have dominion over me. Thanks be to God, there is what? A deliverer. Yes, Jesus Christ delivers from all our wretchedness and sin. He's able to do that. We only have to come to him and tell him. Tell him our troubles. Tell him our sins. Cast all our troubles upon him. Cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. For the sinner, what is his cares and trouble? Sin. For the sinner, what is his care and trouble? Sin. You cast it upon the Lord. In 1 John 3 verse 5, we are told, and ye know that Jesus Christ, he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. He himself was manifested. That's the purpose. That's why always I'll be against this charismatic prosperity preachers. All that world that we have cried out for us, but it is a small matter. But then to release that from poverty, from illness, is total nonsense. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. This is the banner of Christ's word in this world. Yes, he takes care of us, he provides him for us, but his purpose is to deal with our sin problem. And if we come to him for this, there's no way we will never find successful. We will never be successful. The Lord will change our heart. So my question to you then, are you troubled with your sin? Come to him. He died on the cross of Calvary for this. He took the punishment for sin. All the pains and the troubles they put on him was because of this, to help us to overcome our sins. Yes, Christo. Okay, we are saying, we are born into Novae. I recall how I'm born of Bono. I yaw home. And then a brother, who will cover in India, you're born in India. Say, Ebinya, and Tiapon in China. You're born in Yakunin. And you're born here with you, so Yakuman and Castano are born. If you're born in Raden, you're born in Jim, or Beijing. And no, like I said, who is Ampire Woker Raden anymore? On put that. God will listen to you and change your heart.